Recorded. Oh, there we go. Great. We're going to pray together. God our Father, we thank you again for this day. And we pray, O Lord, that we will know and seek your presence in all situations, however we feel, whether we're upbeat or down, whether life is going well or full of frustration, if we are full of promise and expectation or a sense of disappointment, we continue to seek you in Jesus' name. Amen. How will you keep going in the practice of your faith in Christ and your support for one another if it all seems a bit disappointing? I pray for you that the vacancy will be full of vibrancy, with joy upon joy in meeting together, prayers being answered, healings happening, and new people joining. But what if it isn't? What if it all seems like a bit of a slog, and you start to wonder where people's commitment is? What if it feels at times it's not just the vicar who retired, but God decided to take a break too? And in your own life, as you may struggle with illnesses and disappointments, may be wondering where God went. It is an essential part of the Christian life to keep going, to be persistent, to be tenacious at all times. But how? How do you do it? How do you find the strength to keep going, to be resilient, even if God might seem to be disappointing? The answer is simply, continue to seek and let God speak to you. Let God speak to you directly in the means he has given, daily reading of his word, the Bible. Let God speak to you to remember why you are a Christian, what he has done for you in the past. Let God speak to you in assurance of your future hope, the hope of heaven. And let God speak to you of his sovereignty in the present. In short, let God speak to you how all of your time, past, future, and present, is hallowed by his presence. All of this is my experience through my Christian life, and probably especially over 27 years in ordained service. I hope I do convey that I'm normally pretty chipper in my faith in God. Most days of the week, I write in a prayer journal, and I start with the line virtually every day, give thanks for the day. Every day, writing the same thing at the start, give thanks for the day. Partly because it's a Christian discipline to give thanks in all situations, but mainly because it's how I feel. God is present. The day is good. Give thanks. So for days on end, weeks on end, every day in my prayer journey can often start with give thanks for the day. Sometimes though, situations and emotional buildup can seem overwhelming, so I cannot with integrity write give thanks for the day. And such was a day a couple of weeks ago. I'd foolishly looked at emails the night before, including some bad news. I didn't sleep well. And in my prayer journal for the following morning, I wrote, Lord, I feel weighed down. I could do with miracles being lifted up. I'm sure this was a culmination of some family concerns, the grief in our family for Jenny's mother, the blows our church family has received over the last year, 18 months, and the general weariness of bad things happening to good people in our church and beyond. And wishing, just wishing, that our church and our ministry was a bit easier, maybe as blessed as it was in the past. How good it was those years ago when in retrospect there seemed to be miracle after miracle, building rooms in Holy Trinity to accommodate our burgeoning children's families work, year-on-year alpha courses with people coming to faith for the first time or going deeper in faith, and buying St. John's without even going to appeal and seeing a whole crop of activity bloom at St. John's, and seeing the flourishing of Papua Partners and employing Stuart as our youth and community worker and Ellie as our children's and families worker, and seeing our village school being saved at almost the 11th hour with diocesan intervention to merge with Abinger, and working with Priory School as it went from strength to strength, being recognised as outstanding on its church inspection. I don't think I realised at the time how blessed we were. And now it can feel that though I never doubt God is there, I just wished he would manifest himself again a bit more directly. That things weren't so much a struggle, Our church and ministry was clearly flourishing in every way. I think I've learned to know that God seems to be the strong, silent type, and I certainly wouldn't want a garrulous, in-your-face God, but it can be a bit wearying. I can long that he would do a bit more smiting of the evildoers and working signs and wonders for his friends, the church. And that Monday morning a couple of weeks ago, I was simply tired and felt a bit disappointed in God. It was without any enthusiasm that I set about the prayers for the morning. And I say to you again, please learn the benefits, the joy of using a prayer book, because however you feel, you can start saying the prayers without any great feeling or expectation that God will speak and invariably find that he does. And so it was that Monday morning. I set about the set prayers as a rite and then turned to the psalm for the day, Psalm 44. I can hardly believe what I'm reading. The psalmist is expressing in a magnified way what I am feeling. How good it was in the past, O God. What miracles we saw. You gave us victory. But now you have rejected and humbled us. We feel abandoned and forgotten. All this happened to us, though we had not forgotten you or been false to your covenant. Awake, O Lord, why do you sleep? Through the psalmist's words, I hear God speaking to me. This is what it's like. Your complaint isn't unusual. All God's people can expect feelings of abandonment, of absence at times, even for a season. Why? We can speculate. As we've seen before, God, we are fighting a mighty battle, a battle against darkness, sin, death, and the devil. For the people of Israel in the psalmist's time, in an age of conquer or be conquered, it was a literal battle. There were the victories celebrated by the psalmist, but then the defeats leading to the utter bewilderment and disappointment, such as that expressed in Psalm 44. For us, the battle is clearly not with arms and weapons, but it is nonetheless very real. And people we love get hurt, and sometimes ministry can seem unfruitful. And at times the defeats can feel like God has gone absent. In all of this, like the psalmist was to learn, we are simply to go on seeking God, leaning in, going deeper. That we see all of our time, past, future, and present, being hallowed by his presence. We are to continually remember with gratitude the past, how God was clearly evident in our lives. Remembering is a constant rejoinder through the Old Testament, recognizing that there will be many times when the presence of God does not feel so evident. And also in your remembering, remember the teaching you have received. We have such gifted preachers here over 52 weeks of the year. We need to take into our being the truths that are proclaimed week by week, not just with casual listening on Sundays, but taking into our very being the truths that are preached. Take into our being, for example, the sermons preached recently by Ali and Jane on a heavenly perspective, knowing that we can truly look forward with great anticipation beyond this life. We just heard the proclamation of the heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, and it tells how they experienced both miracles and utter suffering. Some, it was a life of miracle, it seemed, but others, a life of utter suffering. But all, as Hebrews 11 verse 16 says, were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. None of them received in this life what had been promised. God has planned something better for us. So remember the past with gratitude. Look forward to your heavenly future and live in the present, continuing to seek God that he will speak to you. As we do so, we will recognize that God is present, always working. With eyes of faith, you can see and rejoice in miracles spreading through daily life. We can see all of the good things in our church life together and in blessings in our own lives. We can always, always start the day with saying, give thanks for the day. And such living in the present means that we recognize trust in God's sovereignty. For some years, I've had a quote framed on my wall, and it should be on the next slide for those that can see it. And I'm going to read it to you, although it's quite long. This quote then is from Unmasking the Powers by Walter Wink. And as I say, I've had it on my study wall for some years. And as I read it, you may see why and may identify it with it for your own perspective on church life and ministry. Walter Wink says this: we must do everything we can to foster change, and we can do nothing. God calls us to transform the church, and yet only God can bring that transformation about. God sends us to proclaim the word, and we're utterly free of any responsibility to make the word effective. When we can live with that paradox without incredulity, we will discover that God is indeed the real sovereign of the world. If we live with such perspective, of just submitting our lives to the sovereignty of God, accepting him as being at law, working in his way through the battles, if we accept all of that, we can take away any stress about the fruitfulness of our church life together and our own personal lives. We are simply to be faithful, to serve, to lean in, to go deeper into God. The fruit is up to him. The fruit is up to God. So may you let God speak to you how all of your time, past, future, and present, is hallowed by his presence. I pray whatever is going on in your church life together in the months and years to come, and in your personal lives, whether it be full of obvious abundant blessings or feels that God has gone absent and there is disappointment, whatever is happening, whatever is going on, you'll continue to seek him, remembering the past with gratitude, looking forward to the future with great anticipation, and living in the present, knowing God's sovereignty. Amen.